Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Living in the Days of Deception, How to Discern Truth from Culture's Lies, by Jack Hibbs. Narrated by Adam Verner. Foreword, Mike Pompeo. Sometimes simple truths told directly, humbly, and with love can affect lives. Pastor Jack's timely work will do that. I opened my remarks to the American University of Cairo in Egypt on January 10, 2019, with three simple declarative sentences. I'm Mike Pompeo. I'm America's Secretary of State. And I am an evangelical Christian. It's an understatement to say it is rare to hear a United States Secretary of State proclaim his faith in such a setting. My own team strongly opposed me saying it. The New York Times, the flagship of the mainstream media, declared my remarks had sparked a revolt at the university. But these words were both true and important. They needed to be said so that America's adversaries and allies would know my worldview and how I would approach threats to the American people. The central ideas Pastor Jack details in this book make it clear that we should approach the threats to our souls and our faith with equal directness. Over the ensuing 1,000 days that I served as America's Secretary of State, I always made it my mission to clearly understand the problem, call it out by name, and develop strategic and concrete approaches to fixing it. From China to North Korea to Iran and so many others, we took the same approach. Be honest about the problem with yourself and the American people, and work hard to find a solution. Too often, Washington politicians tiptoe around issues, afraid to offend someone or some group. But solving a problem always begins with understanding reality. In this book, Pastor Jack uses the same approach to provide Christians with a clear view of the world and how we must respond. Today, America faces no greater external earthly threat than the Chinese Communist Party, an atheistic governing body that seeks total subservience from its own people and total deference from other nations. I saw it up close and personal as Secretary of State. This regime has no respect for human rights because it has no respect for human life. Indeed, the only thing that matters to the CCP is the continuation of its power. China absolutely seeks to remake the world so that its model of tyranny can prosper. The CCP wants humanity to live in their fog, their days. Pastor Jack correctly points us toward the deception of our adversaries via propaganda and the deception of our leaders by controlling the flow of information so they can advance their agendas. The consequences of such tyranny for Christians, indeed for all of humanity, can be truly terrible and wicked. If the United States is to face down its challenges, as it did with Communist Russia, we will need the moral witness of Christianity. We will need a strong, vibrant church that is prepared to remind Americans of the foundations of our freedom, which undoubtedly flow from the Judeo-Christian understanding that we are all created in God's image and are therefore endowed with certain inalienable rights. Yet Western nations, originally the defenders of the Christian faith, are working to remove faith from their societies entirely, something Pastor Jack describes in detail in the chapters ahead. Today, we are told to place our faith not in God, but in grievance, victimhood, and tribalism. We are told there is no such thing as God, truth, or good and evil. The true threat to America and all free people lies in this ideology. Pastor Jack gets it exactly right. If we lose our faith as a nation, we will not survive. We will lack the courage and certainty necessary to confront the CCP, and we will crumble from within. As this book makes clear, though, now is not the time to despair. Evil is a fact of life, and it always has been. Rather than appease or compromise, we must meet evil today in the same manner as the Apostle Paul instructed the church in Ephesus. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack outlines for all believers how we can do this, by faithfully trusting in Jesus, proclaiming Him as our Savior, and following Scripture. Without Christ, I know that I would be lost. My walk with Him began many years ago at the United States Military Academy at West Point, after I was invited to a Bible study led by two upper-class cadets. Though much in the world has changed since then, my faith has remained an indispensable light and my surest support. Through my service in the military, running two small businesses, serving in Congress, and dealing with the challenges facing America as a CIA director and Secretary of State, I have been able to persevere only through God's grace. If we have faith, God will work in surprising and wonderful ways to continually prepare us to meet the challenges ahead. I know I would have never possessed the courage to proclaim my faith in Cairo had I not first been blessed years before with the chance to share it with a room full of precocious, rowdy fifth graders while teaching a Sunday school session with my wife, Susan, at Eastminster Presbyterian in Wichita, Kansas. This proved doubly beneficial, too. My role often encompassed keeping the boys in their seats. This was the best preparation for a career in international diplomacy. I share Pastor Jack's faith and optimism. Jesus Christ overcame our sin and all sin forever. He overcame death. Through Him, I know we can overcome the wickedness we face today. Be unapologetic. Be unyielding. Always approach, in love, those who persecute you. Christ can truly change hearts, and it is for this reason that I know you will find this book as encouraging as I did. God bless you. And always, keep your faith. Mike Pompeo. Part 1. Recognizing the Many Kinds of Deception. Chapter 1. The Days of Global Deception. Viewed from NASA's Terra satellite, it gives the impression of a massive meadow of snow or a vast glacier, calm, serene, and mesmerizing. But locals descending the steep, twisting section of Interstate 5 from California's Tehachapi Mountains know better. They understand they are entering the Central Valley's hazardous Thule fog, and that they should drive with caution. When conditions are right, the thick fog causes unsuspecting drivers to lose their sense of direction, with tragic, sometimes deadly consequences. In November 2007, Thule fog caused a 108-car pileup, resulting in 2 deaths and almost 40 injuries. The pileup, which included 18 semi-trailer trucks, extended for nearly a mile and closed California 99 for more than 12 hours. The last vehicle collided 10 minutes after the initial crash. In today's world, fog, Thule or otherwise, characterizes the disorienting days in which we have entered and now live. Hence the title of this book, and the reason why I intentionally substituted the word days, D-A-Z-E, in place of days, D-A-Y-S. Usually when the word days, D-A-Y-S, is mentioned, most people understand it to concern a particular time or period. Certainly, this book deals with a specific time that the Bible says will visit humanity, a time of unparalleled difficulty, such as the world has never seen. But my primary focus is to help you identify the days of deception enveloping us today. Deception, like fog, acts as camouflage, blurring and concealing what is right in front of us. Safely navigating it requires us to use the same precautions drivers use. Take heed of flashing lights or warning signals ahead, and keep an eye out for patches of clear sky, or, in this case, biblical truth, to act as a guide. Various dictionaries define daze as the inability to think or react properly, to be bewildered or numbed. Synonyms include stupefy, shock, confound, and distract. I believe each of these words can be applied to people's reactions to the all-encompassing sinister changes taking place today. More than any time in recent memory, people are demonstrating an extraordinary lack of judgment and the inability to think or act appropriately when it comes to what they believe and how they live. How is this happening? Why, like never before in history? What you are about to hear is an outline of the many ways deception is influencing our world, and, more importantly, how we as followers of Jesus can equip ourselves to respond effectively to it. My prayer is that you will understand how the strong hand of God Himself will steer you through an otherwise dazed and confused world with hope, clarity, and direction from above. Caught off guard. Deception has become so widespread that it affects all of us today. Here is just one example of what I'm talking about. Have you noticed the incredible amount of deceptive misinformation, false reporting, and as has been popularly called, fake news that has spread through the media these last several years? The answer is yes, of course. All of us who utilize television news, the internet, and social media will readily agree, because so much of what is said runs contrary to what we know to be factual. Yet there are other times when we can't be sure of what's true. Even when a person raises their right hand and swears under oath in a court of law, we're still not always sure whether they are telling the absolute truth. Discovering the truth has become an almost impossible task, leaving us wondering what to believe. You have probably heard the classic tale of what transpired in the ancient city of Troy when the Greeks constructed an enormous wooden horse, gifted it to their enemy, and pretended to sail away. Their Trojan enemies pulled the horse into the city without realizing that hidden within were Greek soldiers who would sneak out and unlock the city gates from inside so that the supposedly departed Greek army could return and attack. The outcome was that Troy was overtaken and destroyed. The Trojan horse eventually came to symbolize a deceptive trick or strategy employed when there seemed to be no way to defeat a powerful enemy. Today, you would shake your head if you saw a 25-foot-tall wooden horse roll into your city. But have you thought about what is being concealed by powerful elites, organizations, and governing authorities, or the unexplainable level of secrecy tied to their deceptive views? When you realize that these people and groups often consider you their enemy, the reality of modern-day Trojan horses doesn't seem beyond the realm of possibility. It is also important to understand that wicked schemes come in small packages, too, subtly hidden in an element of truth, making them more dangerous and difficult to spot. I believe that what makes the most recent decade unique is the extent to which misleading information has permeated not only our culture in the West, but also globally. An outstanding example is what happened in the wake of the COVID pandemic. No matter what your view or position or the pain and sorrow suffered during the pandemic, one thing is certain: the experts and political power brokers, along with biotechnology corporations, learned that by controlling the flow of information, they could rapidly advance their agendas. Quickly following on the heels of the pandemic was a worldwide outbreak of irrational and even unstable thinking when it came to things like gender identity, marriage, the sanctity of life, and the rule of law. Closer to home, there were questions about national borders and whether America should keep its constitution. So many things were brought into question, and even more are being challenged today. What does all this mean? First, deception is continually at work through the conversations, thoughts, and actions of those who reject the very concept of God from their belief systems. I know that sounds brutal, but that's backed by what the Bible says. And second, we must be careful not to dismiss deception as taking place only in the media or the social and political realms. Jesus warned that there would be tremendous spiritual deception in the last days, before his physical return to earth. The days of the last days. What are the last days? Over the years, I have been asked by many news outlets and genuinely concerned seekers alike, what are the last days? I think it is awesome that whenever there is a significant world crisis, the church's phones ring nonstop, because people want to know what is happening. The callers on the other end ask, could it be that the beginning of the end is near? Or is Armageddon right around the corner? The world wants answers when things begin to shake, both literally and figuratively. Let me share a scripture that applies to every Christ follower in the last days. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Here, and in other verses, it is clearly stated that God's people need to be ready and able to give the answers that non-believers are seeking. That means it is incumbent that Christians know and understand what they believe, and how that knowledge plays out in everyday life. When we talk about the last days, you need to know that throughout the Bible, the concept of last days appears in a variety of ways. The end of times, the end of days, the last day, the latter times, the end of the age, or as 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 puts it, the last hour. Not all those terms speak about the exact same thing, but all of them refer to the conclusion of things, which includes the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. The events we collectively call the last days are all part of what is called Bible prophecy, or biblical eschatology. Bible prophecy is God writing the future in advance so that we can know what lies ahead. Many churches shy away from teaching prophecy out of biblical ignorance because of the denomination they affiliate with, or because they think it's going to generate fear. Whatever the reason, the refusal to teach prophecy is a shame. The Bible reveals details about the last days to alleviate the stress of wondering what is coming and to prepare us so that we will be ready. Because we should be familiar with our Bibles, God expects us to know what his word says about future events. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, the religious leaders continually attacked him regarding his doctrine of salvation, his doctrine of faith, and, interestingly, his doctrine concerning the last days. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, asking that he show them a sign from heaven. Here is what he said. When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 through 3. I love how subtle Jesus is. You hypocrites, you can forecast the weather, but can't discern the times and signs of the last days. May that never be said of you or me. What are the signs of the last days? Detailed volumes have been written about the signs of the end of the age, and we should understand these signs. By giving you just a few indicators of what will happen during the last days, I believe I can make my point that this is the time in which you and I live. Scripture says that men would be haters of God, lovers of pleasure, lovers of lust and evil, and lovers of the things of this world, while at the same time becoming loveless and uncaring toward the general population and the welfare of their fellow man. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. No one can deny that each of these behaviors is now commonplace, but I ask you, by what standard are we to judge that any of the behaviors I just mentioned are wrong? Do you make that judgment call? Do I? Or do we allow popular opinion or government agencies to decide for us? The only reason any of these questions arise is that God is nowhere present in the hearts and minds of people. Practically speaking, they are haters of God. Think about it. If there's no God, then there are no rules. And when there are no rules, there is lawlessness. And when there's lawlessness, there's nothing left but me, myself, and what I want. And then everything becomes acceptable for me. We also know that before Christ returns, demonic doctrines will flood our world, resulting in a widespread apostasy or departure from faith in God. Now, don't get the idea this means there are some strange, fuzzy creatures lurking around in the shadows, trying to trick people. If that were true, they would be easy to identify. What is true is that demonic powers have commandeered church pulpits and corrupted the gospel's message, weakening or wiping out the faith of those sitting in the pews, just as Scripture warns. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. God's Word has gone missing in many houses of worship today. Ministries are preaching messages of self-centeredness, prosperity, and me-ism versus sound doctrine. Can you see how this disconnect has allowed Christ followers to be confused by the days of deception? This is why we see believers who cannot distinguish right from wrong and have departed from biblical orthodoxy, while embracing a secular form of Christianity. How, then, can we inoculate ourselves against deception? How can we know the truth? In some instances, we may never know the truth when it comes to politics, some military scheme or venture or a business deal gone wrong. But when it comes to spiritual realities, there's only one way to know the truth. That, of course, is the Bible, the inerrant, perfect, never-changing Word of God. When the Church, the ground and pillar of all truth, proclaims the whole counsel of God from the Bible, deception will not and cannot take hold. The events of the last days have been designed to validate God. The global crises of our day, the saber rattlings of war, the lack of trustworthy leaders, the potential collapse of national economies, the controversies over cryptocurrencies, and the government overreach during health pandemics may not make sense to you and me. But rest assured they do to God. What do I mean by that? Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 through 22 elaborates further on this same truth. "Tell and bring forth your case, yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other." Only God knows the future, my friend. And the fact that the God of the Bible tells us what is going to happen before it comes to pass validates that He exists. He alone is God, and He will accomplish all that He desires. Are you perplexed? Are you looking for answers? Turn off your TV, close your laptop, set down your phone, and pick up the Bible. I have lost track of how many times I have had a conversation that goes something like this. "Pastor, how can I know if God is real?" Open the book, read it, and watch what happens. But isn't that brainwashing? Absolutely. In this dirty, messed up world, you and I need a good brainwashing. We need to let the Bible get inside and scrub away all the gunk accumulated throughout the day, let alone a lifetime. God's Word cleanses and straightens out our thinking. Whether you're uncertain if God is real or if He is trustworthy, I promise those assurances will come through His Word. Today you should ask yourself, what did the God of antiquity do? And how did it relate to what He said in advance that He would do? If you take a careful look at the historical proofs regarding what the Bible says in answer to those questions, you will realize that you can trust God with every detail of your life. to validate the Bible. If you question whether God exists, you probably have doubts about the Bible, too. Doubts like, are the Bible's claims accurate? Can I rely upon it for life's answers, both now and in the future? The answer is a resounding yes, and yes. But don't take my word for it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 tells why you can trust in the fulfillment of every part of God's word. We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. The King James Version translates prophetic word confirmed as a more sure word of prophecy, which in the Greek language means firm, faithful, permanent, or morally true and certain. God's past performance in fulfilling written prophecy settles the question as to whether he can and will fulfill what he has promised to you now and in the future. To back that up, I need to give you only one word: Israel. To those who were alive in 1947 or before, Israel was ancient history. It didn't appear on a modern map. But for prophecy to be fulfilled, Israel had to become a nation again. And on May 14, 1948, it did just that. After 2,000 years of the Jewish people being in exile, Israel came to life again. It was literally born in one day, just as the Bible said it would be. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, and Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 13. In all of history, no other nation has been a nation, lost its status as a nation, and then been reinstated as a nation. No other book or person can make the accurate prophetic claims that the Bible does. The History Channel and others will often cite purported prophets like Nostradamus, who had a dismal record of being right in his predictions. Biblical prophets had no such leeway. They had to be 100% accurate. This is how you can tell the difference between God's prophets and false prophets. Are you sensing the world's darkness creeping in and slowly causing you to feel a bit foggy, even dazed? You can rely on the sure word of the Old Testament prophecies, which 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 compares to a light that shines in a dark place. Are there circumstances beyond your control, pressing against you? Flee to the Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Scripture doesn't give us some esoteric mystery that we need to contemplate while sitting on a rock. It provides us with the wisdom and understanding we need to navigate our way through life. Understanding how biblical prophecy is unfolding will increase your confidence in the Bible as a whole. God's word inspires confidence that translates into hope and moves us beyond merely surviving to thriving. To validate Jesus Christ. From the moment he entered this world, Jesus Christ has been under attack. He was mocked and ridiculed, destined to become a common curse word. I mean, watch someone slam a door on their finger and listen to what comes out of their mouth. I've never heard anyone say, "Oh, Buddha," or, "Oh, Muhammad, that really hurts." But they have no problem inserting Jesus' name in that kind of exclamation. I find it significant that only one person in all of history has drawn such universal attention, ire, and hatred. But it's to be expected, because Satan hates Christ. He will do anything and everything he can to neutralize the Son of God. What is awesome about the unfolding of prophetic events is that they validate the reality of who Jesus is. Jesus never hid the fact that he would be crucified, and he knew that even his disciples would doubt he was the Son of God when it happened. This is what made his words to them so vital to their faith. "Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he." John chapter 13, verse 19. Notice the phrase, "I am he." Jesus was saying, "I am telling you things before they happen, so that when they do, you will know that I am." To the Jewish ear, that was one bold statement. The announcement, "I am," is the same one made by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. God commissioned Moses to go to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?